It's an amazing thing what we have access to because of what Jesus did for us. His atoning sacrifice has permitted us an opportunity to go into the presence of a holy God. And you know what's fortunate for us? It's fortunate for us that we're able to do that in our present condition. We're still in the flesh. And yet we can spiritually enter into His holiness. Wow, that's great. But it's only accessible through the sacrifice and through the atoning blood of Jesus. Listen, if you've never had the blood of Jesus applied to your heart, you need to be saved. There's a glory, the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory of God is available unto us through what Jesus has done. Now, I believe we can live holy lives. Through the presence of the Holy Ghost, through the holy sacrifice that was made when we're in the presence of God, I don't believe we're sinning. When we're in the presence of God, I don't sin when I'm in the presence of God. You know, some missionary Baptists say they sin all the time. I hope not. I mean, there are times when we pray, when we're in the presence of the Lord, where we can take off our shoes, we're standing on holy ground. And we can stand there because of Jesus. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus continues to atone and continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I mean, he cleanses us. He blots out our iniquities. Are you glad you're saved this morning? What a blessing it is to have fellowship, to have a relationship with a heavenly Father, a holy God. Our God is holy. Amen. Yeah. Now, I know there's a lot of people, they worship a God, but they're not worshiping the holy God. They're not worshiping the righteous God. They're not worshiping the God that created the heavens and the earth like we are. What a privilege it is to know Him, to come into His presence. You know, the Bible teaches us that we can come into the presence of the Lord. And when we do, we need to realize that He is holy. There was a headband that the high priest wore that said, "Holiness to the Lord! Holiness to the Lord!" Listen, we don't have holiness to offer Him, but the Holy Child Jesus was offered unto Him that we might come into His presence. What a blessing it is to know this God that saves. He's mighty to save this morning. And if you're here today and you've not been saved, I hope you come to know Him, the free pardon of sin. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. We thank all of our visitors for being present. And we want to worship the Lord today in spirit and in truth. I'm glad that I'm ready for judgment. You know, the Bible teaches us that everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to give an answer for the things done in this body, both good and evil. The Bible says that on that day, the books will be opened. And another book will be opened, which is the book of life. And everyone whose name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they're going to be cast into hell. That's what the Bible says. Listen, if you don't know that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you've not trusted in Jesus, people, that's the only answer we can give at the Day of Judgment. I'm going to plead the blood. I have the blood applied to my heart. My sins have been covered. That's the only way that you can go to heaven, is to have Jesus. Now, there's people here today that have not put their faith and their trust and their confidence in Jesus to save them. There are people here that have never sought the Lord. They've never repented of their sins. They've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, because he has passed from death unto life." If you've never passed from death unto life, you need to be saved. Now here at Victory Church, we believe that people need to seek the Lord. They need to call upon the Lord. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," in Romans chapter 10. It's also in the Psalms. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament that you'd have to pray. You have to call on the Lord. You have to repent of your sins. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness of Judea and he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When Jesus Christ began his ministry, the first sermon he began to preach was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When the apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when the 120 were gathered together and the Holy Ghost came down upon them, he said, repent. Listen, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've not went down into your iniquity of sorrow and bitterness and saw your sins as God sees them, if you've never been convicted of the Holy Ghost, where you felt the weight of sin upon your heart and life and turned to Jesus and had the burden relieved, you need to be saved.
Amen.
Here at Victory Church, we believe that people need to call on the Lord. We believe that people need to seek the Lord. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The Bible says you need to turn to the Lord. You have to turn to the Lord in repentance. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, if you'll turn to the Lord, he will abundantly pardon you. We believe that people need to seek the Lord. They need to repent of their sins. They need to put faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We believe people need to seek the Lord. They need to repent of their sins. We believe that they must be convicted of sin. Listen, you can't get saved anytime you want to. We believe that you must be brought to a place to where you see how God sees you. We believe that you need to get to the point where you really know how bad and how awful sin is. That you need to sense that. That you need to experience that. That you need to feel that. You need to feel that bitterness. That you might understand the bitterness of the cross. You need to understand that Jesus, when he went to the cross, he was taking your place. Until you get to the point where you sense your sinfulness and your wickedness and your separateness from God. A person is separated from God when they're lost. Yes, they're separated, they're dead, they're in trespasses and in sin. And until you feel that and sense that and experience that, you'll never turn to Jesus and put your complete faith in Him. And we believe that people seek the Lord. They repent of their sins. They feel the condemnation. You need to sense the condemnation upon your heart and your life. You need to feel that iniquity that separates you from God. In Isaiah chapter 59. And verse 1, the Bible says that your sins have separated you from God, that your iniquity has hid his face from you, that he cannot hear. The reason God doesn't hear your prayers, the reason you don't sense God's presence in your life, is because sin keeps you separated from God. Bible goes on and says, but his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. Verse 2, nor his arm short that it cannot say. Praise God. Listen, if you will call upon the Lord and deal with the sin issues in your life. Amen. I mean, turn from sin. Put your faith in Jesus who paid the sin debt for you. And you trust in him with all of your heart. He will transform your life. Amen. We were singing about enter into the presence of the Lord May 15th 1972 when I was a 10-year-old boy, about 10 minutes till 10 on a Monday night. I came for the very first time into the presence of the Lord by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something, when you get into the presence of God, there is a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. I tell you, the weight of sin was lifted from my life. I knew that I'd just been changed. That I'd just been saved by the grace of God. Here at Victory Church, we believe people need to seek the Lord. They need to call on the Lord. They need to pray. That's why we have a mourner's bench up here. We still believe that people need to mourn over their sins. Amen. Amen. Our iniquities and our sins are a transgression against God's holy law. He's the offended party. We've offended him. And I'll tell you, if you really sense your iniquity like I sensed my iniquity that night, you'll mourn. Whether you mourn a tear, you'll mourn in your heart. Amen. Yeah. Because of your lostness. Bible says on the day of Pentecost, when the power of God came down upon the church and 3,000 got saved, and the prophecy of Zechariah was that they mourned as though they had just lost a firstborn, just lost a child. They were mourning. And they turned to the Lord. Listen, I still believe that godly sorrow works repentance into salvation. There needs to be a sorrow, not just a worldly sorrow, a sorrow because you got caught or you did something wrong. I believe in a godly induced sorrow. Amen. Just like it says, Corinthians chapter 7, a godly induced sorrow. Godly sorrow working repentance unto salvation. I'll tell you why a lot of people aren't getting saved today or not getting the real salvation is because they're not experiencing a godly induced sorrow. That's why it's so important for His church to be doing right and living right and acting right. Amen? Amen. We want to produce an environment conducive for godly sorrow that works repentance unto salvation. Amen. There are some of you here this morning and you've never been saved by the grace of God. Do you realize that you can go to churches in Hendersonville for 20 years and never hear that you need to be saved? Right. It's happening every day. Here in this town, we have people coming to this place and they've gone to other churches and never been told that they need to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved. Amen. Bible says this is a true and faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ, He came not for you to sit around a Christmas tree and exchange presents. He came to save sinners. Amen. That's why He came. That's why He came. That you might be saved by the grace of God. That you might be born again of His Spirit. That you might be able to go into His presence and go to heaven one of these days. I'm going to heaven. Going to heaven. Yeah, what a blessing it is to know that I'm going to heaven. If you don't know, I believe people know. You either know or you don't know. You either saved or you're lost. You either born again or you're still a child of the devil. One of the two, there's no gray area here. If you're here today and you've never been born again to the Spirit of God, you know, Jesus made it real plain. I was reading in a history here a while back, and there was a period back just right before the Great Awakening where that there were some Baptist preachers, and it seemed, and the statement was that the prevailing theme and message that they constantly were preaching over and over and over and over again because of the lack of knowledge and understanding among the people was that you must be born again. You got to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. For in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. If you've never been born again to the Spirit of God. Now what we believe, this is real plain. I mean, I'll make it just plain as I can. You have to experience the same thing we've experienced. I know people don't like that, but that's just the truth of it. We've been born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone. Say everyone.
Everyone.
And Jesus said, everyone gets saved the same way. Holy Spirit comes into their hearts and lets them know that they pass from death into life. I still contend that people need to be made alive. Just like the church at Ephesus. We have a lot of dead churches, and I'll tell you why we have dead churches. It's because people have never been born again. They've not been made alive. But Paul, when he wrote the people at Ephesus in the second chapter, verse 1, you hath he made alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. We've been made alive. Church people need to be made alive. If you want to join this church, you'll have to be first made alive. Yeah, quickened to the Holy Ghost. If you've never been quickened to the Holy Ghost or made alive. Now what we mean by that is that there has to be a time, there has to be a place in your life where you were given a perception, a spiritual perception. A lot of people try to condemn us because we believe in feelings, but it's more than a feeling.
Amen.
Feelings come and go. It's much more than a feeling. It's a perception. And we get excited about this divine perception we've received. You must have a time, listen to me, you must have a time and a place in your life where the Holy Spirit comes in and lets you know that you're no longer a child of the devil, but now you're a child of God. Amen. Yeah, that's the new birth. That's being born again. That's passing from death and alive. Now we're not talking about somebody talking to you or trying to convince you that the Bible tells you you're saved. That's Bibleolatry. We don't preach that. We don't teach that here. The Bible doesn't tell you that you're saved. It tells you how to be saved. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're saved. That's what the Bible says. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Listen, John wrote, he said, I write these things that you might know. That Greek word is epignosko. It's an intimate, personal, real knowledge. An experimental knowledge. We contend and we preach and we practice here at Victory Church. You must have an experimental knowledge of salvation. You must have a divine perception that comes from God, that you are a child of God, that you're one of the elect, that you're one of His children, that you're going to heaven. You must have a divine perception. There's a time and a place in your life where that occurs. Now, I believe in an end time election. A lot of people get confused about election, but it's real simple for me. You know that you're elected and one of the elect when the Holy Ghost comes in. That's what Peter said. That's what Paul said. When you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and the Holy Spirit of promise comes in and seals you. Oh man, what a blessing that is, isn't it? A blessing. There are people here, and it's unfortunate. We have a lot of visitors, and I'll just be honest with you. We sometimes scare people. We have people come here, and it just blows them away. They think that they're saved, but they're not. Yeah. Yeah. They come here, and they think they're all right. They've gone to church all of their life. And they're attracted to something here. There's a little something spiritual. There's something here that's pulling them. And they come for a while. And then they get to hearing about the nuts and the bolts of the gospel. When they start hearing about hardcore preaching against sin. And they get hearing about repentance and true faith in Jesus Christ. It scares them. Just like it was in the book of Acts, a lot of people will stop up their ears, or they'll turn away, or they'll resist the Holy Ghost that's drawing them to a place of repentance. Don't be one of those people. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to listen to the Lord. This is the amazing thing about what we believe here. We do not want you to just take my word for it. We don't want you to take Aaron's word for it, or Debbie's word for it, or Susie's word for it, or Brother Doug's word for it. We don't want you to take our word for it. We want you to seek the Lord, and we want you to pursue this thing on your own, and we want you to call upon the Lord on your own, and we want you to find the Lord on your own, and we want you to know in your own heart and in your own life. And we believe that if you will press toward the mark, if you'll look toward the cross, if you'll come humbly and submissively to Jesus Christ, He'll deal with you. He'll let you know. We not only insist that upon people that come here and visit, we insist that of our own children. Let me tell you, there's no greater blessing in the world than to have your own children look in the eye and say, Dad, Mom, I know. I went to the cross. I had the blood of blood in my heart. How the Holy Spirit came in and lifted the burden of sin. And I'm going to heaven with you. Listen, nothing less will do for me. Of my children or of your children or of any visitor that comes here. Amen? Some people say, well, that's how, you know, that's that old time way. Amen. Yeah, that is the way, period. Amen. It's the only way. I mean, Jesus said it must be that way. Paul said it must be that way. Peter said it must be that way. The whole New Testament, the Old Testament says it has to be this way. So it's got to be this way. Amen. And I'm not going to settle for anything less but the right way. the Lord's way of getting saved. I contend that you can know that you're one of His children.
Amen.
You know, and that's what starts stirring us on the inside, right? I mean, we're not stirred by somebody else beside of us. We're stirred because of what's going on in us. Right? You know what I'm talking about? You see, the best way I know how to describe it, and I've tried to describe these little ones. There's a place inside of you that only God can touch.
Amen.
You know, the Bible talks about in the fourth chapter of Hebrews that the Word of God is sharp, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the dividings under of soul and spirit, get down to the very joints and marrows, and to the very thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the Word of God, accompanied by the Holy Ghost, goes places that nobody else can go. It enters inside of you in a place. It touches a place inside of you that nobody else can touch.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God does. And there's that place inside of you where you get a pricking of the Holy Ghost, a troubling. You know, you feel that condemnation. It's more than a feeling. It's a perception. It's a spiritual thing. Amen. Salvation is spiritual. The new birth is spiritual. The gospel is spiritual. The work of the Lord, it's a spiritual work. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, you're not going to find that stuff up in this mountain of Samaria. You're not going to find it over here in Jerusalem. But it's one spirit connecting with God's spirit. That's where true worship is. My spirit connecting with His spirit. Wow. That's worship. That's connection. That's the real deal. Yeah. And I can go through this congregation, and I know there's people here that from time to time they've had concerns or they've had preconceived notions and ideas. Brother Brad here, he examined the gospel up and down, back and forth, went over it and under it. But one day out on that tractor, on that John Deere tractor, he laid aside all the preconceived notions and all the ideas in his mind, and he trusted Jesus with his heart. Listen, it's with a heart man believes unto righteousness. Yeah, then with a mouth confession is made of salvation. Right? And you may have preconceived notions or ideas or thoughts or things going on in your mind and your heart. You say, not today, maybe tomorrow. Bible says this, if you hear His voice, if you hear that still small voice. Anybody heard that? If you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Surrender, amen. Bible says for today, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Listen, we can't boast ourselves to tomorrow because we don't know what today's going to bring. Listen, you need to find the Lord today. The Lord is calling you out. He is drawing you. Bible says in the sixth chapter of John, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. Listen, the Holy Heavenly Father is drawing you to Jesus. You're sensing that. You're experiencing that. You sense that burden and that condemnation, that uneasiness in a place where only God can touch you. That's God. Listen, people, don't mess with that. That's God. That's not this preacher. It's not this church. It's not the singing. It's God. And when God summons you, I mean, He calls you. I'm glad He called me out. Amen. When He calls you to Himself, just yield to it. Just surrender. Come down to this altar. Pour yourself out like water upon the dirt and be absorbed in Jesus Christ, in His sacrifice. I'll tell you what, He will change you. You might say, well, I've got this and that and this and that going on in my life. Don't worry about it. The Lord can fix it all.
Amen.
He can fix your problems or whatever's going on in your life. He's a powerful God. And He will come in and He'll take up His abode. Y'all know about that? And He will walk with you and He will talk with you. And no matter what you go through, whether you're in a valley or on a mountain, He's with you. Listen, I don't have to read it in the Word of God that the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. He just doesn't leave you or forsake you. I've experienced it. Amen. I'm glad I've got the promise, but I know it firsthand. He's always there. I've gone through some dark periods in my life as well as some of you, but the Lord is still there. Yeah. The devil sometimes can drive us back, but he can't drive us back any farther than when we got saved. He stops right there, doesn't he? Because right there I surrendered it all to the Lord, and the blood was applied. I'm glad I know the Lord. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus. I mean, if you don't know Jesus, the word epignosko, let me get back to that. It means an intimate personal knowledge. See, we don't believe in a hope so, think so, maybe so. There's so many people. Oh, how sad it is. Talk to them and they just hope they get to heaven. They maybe they'll get there. They hope that in the end at judgment, you know, that their good deeds will outweigh their bad. That's not how it works. Amen. Just not how it works. It's grace. Unmerited, undeserved favor. And you experience that in your heart and your life. And you know, Jesus said, 17th chapter, I believe it is, of John, this is eternal life. To know, to know God. I mean, know God. I have a relationship and a fellowship with Him. And to know His Son, know the sacrifice. Know Him as the high priest. Know Him as King of kings and Lord of lords. Know Him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Know Him as the bright and the morning star. Know Him as the lily of the valley. Know Him as El Shaddai and Jehovah Jireh. Know Him as Elohim. Know Him as God, He who which was and is to come. Know Him as King of your life. He's my King today. He's coming, for He's coming on that white stallion, and on His vesture is written, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming for me. Praise God. Well, I'm rambling a little bit, but let's sing an invitational song. If you're here, Lord is speaking to you. I'm going to pray with you. We're going to come in here. We're going to have an altar prayer. But I believe that there's people here and you are not saved. The Lord is drawing you. He's dealing with you. You know what? Somebody can be dealt with of the Lord and they can put on a disguise. Amen? They act like everything's just fine. See, because the Lord pondereth the heart. He's dealing with you deep down inside. And He's calling you to come. Let's stand and sing, come today. I want to pray with you. I believe there's people here today, you've never been bought with a price. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. You've never experienced grace. And today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of eternal life. But you need to come to Jesus. Let the congregation stand. Let's sing. Is there somebody here and you've never been saved by the grace of God? Would you come? Would you pray? Jesus said, He that believeth in Me shall never die. Yeah. Eternal life. Jesus came that we might have life. Eternal life. And that we might have life more abundantly. It's a blessing to be a Christian. It's a blessing to be saved and have God's presence in your life. Actually, you know, none of us are of this world that are saved. We're just passing through and we're just pilgrims and strangers. Listen, take hold of the Lord. Reach out. Touch Him today. Virtue will come from Christ and He'll make you alive as we sing. Is there somebody here? Never been saved. Would you pray? I want to pray with you. Listen, the season is drawing near. The end is near. The Lord's coming. He's coming. He's coming in power and great glory. And you're not a child of God. You've never been saved. The Lord wants to give you eternal life. Somebody here.
Come be thirsty.
There needs to be a time and a place where you nail this thing down between you and God. And you know that you've been bought by the blood of Jesus. His blood has never been applied to your heart. If you've never had a believing application of the blood of Jesus upon your sins, come. Come now. Come, go to Jesus. Come right now.
He will embrace me.
His arms are outstretched. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. Oh, the 10,000 charms of being in Jesus. Jesus.
If you tarry,
flee to him for refuge. The Bible says, lay hold upon him who has eternal life.
I will rise and go to Jesus.
Is there somebody today?
He will embrace me in his arms and in the arms of my dear Savior.
Oh, what a blessing. Lay hold of Christ. I mean, just lay hold of him. Know him as your own.
I will rise and go to Jesus.
His arms are outstretched.
He will embrace me.
Listen, he will embrace you. He'll change you and transform your life. The Bible calls it regeneration. God's Holy Spirit coming in direct contact. Do you remember the day you went to Jesus? What a blessing. What a blessing. Is there anybody here that regrets that? I've never met a one. Now, I have a lot of regrets in life, but I've never regretted going to Jesus. One of these days, you need to rise up and come to Christ. Let's gather in the altar. I want us to have an altar prayer. Pray for these that are among us today. Listen, I don't believe in dragging people to the altar. I believe that people who really are under conviction, they're really in trouble over their sins, they'll find the Lord eventually. Yeah, yeah. You may find the Lord at home. My wife was saved at home in bed. My daughter was saved. Well, she prayed in a closet and then she got in bed and got saved. A lot of people have been saved in a lot of different areas. I believe God is planting seeds today. Amen. Where people can get right with God. And I pray that you'll find Him before it's too late. We love you here at Victory Church. We want you to have the real thing. Amen? We want you to know the Lord for yourself. Be able to tell others. We want you to have all that the Bible teaches about salvation, about the promises, and the work of the Holy Ghost. We pray that you experience that in your life and nothing less.